northern forest or grassy plain. It is a desert. Mountainous, rugged, dry, dusty. Jesus had been sent from the waters of baptism into the Jordan River to the waterless wilderness. Why? What is he doing here in the desert? Do you think he knew exactly? Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the three gospel writers, all record that Jesus was in the wilderness tempted by the devil. Mark says that after Jesus was baptized, the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Actually, that's the entire temptation story in Mark. There's no more detail. But Matthew and Luke say that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness and then go on to describe his encounter with Satan. Now, remember, this is pretty early in Jesus' ministry. Matthew and Luke each tell different versions of the beginning of Jesus' life. But his baptism by John is the very first appearance of Jesus as an adult and in the public limelight. And he hasn't done anything yet. There's no preaching, there's no teaching, there's no performing of miracles, no disciples, no enemies. He's just been baptized by John. But then lots of people were baptized by John. There was nothing in the newspapers. But when Jesus comes up out of the water and he's praying, we're told the sky is torn apart and the Holy Spirit descends. And the Spirit says, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, the Holy Spirit appears prominently in these two scenes. At Jesus' baptism, it announces to the world that Jesus, God's Son, then is led, or as Mark says, drives Jesus into the wilderness. It makes you think that wilderness is God's idea. But why would God want Jesus to be tempted by the devil? Is there any possibility that Jesus could have failed the test? Maybe the test wasn't for Jesus. Maybe it was for the devil. Well, for God. So for us. What's the first temptation? Stones into bread. Jesus was fasting for a long time, 40 days it says. But in the Bible, 40 days doesn't mean 40 days. 40 is shorthand in the Bible for a very large number. 40 days of rain in Noah, 40 years wandering in the wilderness, Moses on the mountain with God for 40 days. So we don't know for certain how long Jesus had been there, but we know it's a long time. And Luke says he was famished. And the devil says, "If you are the Son of God, turn this stone into a loaf of bread so that you could eat." Now, when you think about it, it seems reasonable, doesn't it? What can it hurt? Just have something to eat. And if he could feed himself easily, why not feed others too? Why not provide food for the whole world? Why have a special service stressing the world hunger? Maybe then Jesus wouldn't even have to go to the cross. Then he remembers what is written in Deuteronomy 1, does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So the devil tries again. He shows Jesus the kingdoms of the world in an instant and tells Jesus he could rule all of this if only you would worship me, the devil. Now that definitely sounds like something Jesus shouldn't be doing. The Son of God worshiping Satan. Nope. Doesn't sound right. But no matter what he had to do to endure it, would it be so bad if Jesus then would be ruler of the world? Wouldn't Jesus be a good king? Why, we even have a Christ the King Sunday. But the Christ that we worship is the one who went to the cross. He's not the one who took the easy way out. If Jesus would have tried to fulfill the role of God's Son by anyone else's rules but God's, then we would be worshiping the devil. And again, he quotes from Deuteronomy, "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Well, the devil is smart. And he knows how to fight fire with fire. And Satan can quote scripture as well. This time he takes Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple, the highest point in Jerusalem, and he says, "If you really are the Son of God, jump off, nothing will happen to you." It says in the Psalms we read, "He will command his angels concerning you to protect you. On their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." But Jesus knows it also says, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." So I ask you this morning, on this cold morning, when I appreciate all you being here instead of staying in warm houses, what are these temptations really about? Three times the devil puts Jesus to the test. And three times Jesus responds with scripture and with resolution to follow the path that God set upon him. Stones into bread, ruler of the world, proving that he is the Son of God. Jesus isn't simply turning aside casual temptations here. He's being confronted with the knowledge that his human choices matter. He's being challenged to take the easy way, to back away from the cross, to take the way of self-glorification instead of self-sacrifice. But if he does that, then what are we left with? Either we fall on our faces to worship Jesus for his greatness, or we try to be like him. We try to take the honor and power away from God. Neither of these will work. So I ask you, why did Jesus stay in the wilderness? Why? Because that is where we live. That's where you and I live. We are hungry. Some of us are hungry physically. Some hunger for acceptance. Some hunger for meaning in their life. And we all search for more power. Power over our own lives, power over the lives of others. But if we had that, then we would be empowering our sinfulness. We'd be all tempted to prove ourselves. But the only one we have to prove ourselves to is God. Jesus was fully human. He had a human face, human hands, human feet. He had human emotions and human reactions. sure, being fully God, he wasn't sinful like us. But as today's story reminds us, he still was tempted. Jesus knows exactly what we go through in our lives with temptations. In this season of Lent, we remember these 40 days of Jesus' temptation, and our worship service is a more somber, more introspective. We are asked to look at ourselves in the mirror, and the color of Lent is purple, the color of repentance. And we began Lent Wednesday with Ash Wednesday. Ash is placed on your forehead in the symbol of the cross, reminding us of our mortality. Sign of the cross, reminding us that when we were baptized, the sign of the cross was placed on your forehead, that God sustains us. Lent is a time of preparation for Easter, which is really rather ridiculous. How do you prepare for the resurrection of God's Son from the dead? During the Lenten season, we ready ourselves for God's Easter plan, reminding us that we are resurrection people. And we are a wilderness people. We wander into the desert seeking wine, hungering for bread, dying for the presence of God in our lives to help us understand those questions and problems that we go through. And we struggle every day to find God's will. We fight for temptation in our sinfulness, sometimes successfully and oftentimes not. But we know that there's a God sustaining us. God's will for us to have the abundant life, to provide through Jesus on the cross, that we receive by faith God's grace, God's mercy. God's selfless desire is to claim us as his people. Though we live in the wilderness has not won in our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.